payday or short-term loans can offer consumers a lifeline while creating a whole new pile of debt to worry about. Sometimes referred to as predatory lending, in Wisconsin, these types of loans can include annual interest rates of more than 400%. A new bill in the state legislature would limit that maximum annual interest rate quite a bit to match a rate enacted by Congress that applies to members of the military and their families. Senator Andre Jacques is a Wisconsin state senator representing the 1st District, which includes parts of Brown, Calumet, Door, and Kewaunee counties. He's an author of the new bill. Senator Jacques, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon, Rob. Great to be back.
Well, lay out for us your primary goals, please, for this legislation.
Well, and you gave a pretty good summary. So basically, we actually have a report for payday lending in Wisconsin for the most recent year that we had that report, although the 2019 report should be coming out shortly. It was an average rate of 486%. Now, many years that climbs above 500% in terms of the average rate for payday lending. And of course, you have auto title loans as well that are similarly in that same stratosphere. But we really call it toxic credit. It's this endless cycle of debt that thousands upon thousands of Wisconsin residents are trapped in. And we have the numbers, again, from the industry that bear that out. These are really loans that are put together in many cases seemingly designed to not be able to be paid back. And that causes a whole host of societal issues. It causes desperation. It certainly causes a great amount of stress and difficulty for the individuals who are taking on this debt. And so as you had mentioned, we already have legislation that's been enacted at the federal level, which Congressman Grothman, Representative Chuy Garcia, I believe, also has introduced legislation together to similarly extend that that rate cap for other loans. But that's really what we're seeking to do in Wisconsin, is saying, you know, we're not just going to protect our active duty service members, but veterans and all citizens. And so really we're taking a hit out against predatory lending.
The argument for payday lending in some cases is, okay, yes, if it's annualized, it's a big rate. But the idea is it's a payday loan. You take the loan now, you pay us off in 7 days or 2 weeks or whatever when you get that paycheck. Do we not seeing it play out that way?
No, I mean, I think when you look at the average loans that are given out, and the fact that you're looking at over a quarter of the time there's a supplemental loan that then is taken out, and you're really only seeing about half these initial loans ever really getting paid back by the statistics, we're really not seeing it limited to, like you would say, a very short-term loan with what would then seemingly be a more reasonable rate of interest. And certainly this can be a discussion starter. We might end up at a different place, but the reality is we have very little regulation of payday lending, and in Wisconsin we have less than pretty much any other state. So it is something that I think it's important that we take a look at this. Very proud that we have very strong bipartisan support in both chambers for this proposal.
What specific businesses would this apply to? Because there are things that are called payday lending, there's title loans, there's a lot of variety when it comes to these short-term lenders.
Sure. So basically, if you are a lender other than a financial institution that is making consumer loans exceeding $5,000 in principal, you would have to obtain a license to be a licensed lender, and then would be subject to that 36% interest rate cap. So certainly it would catch anything that where you're talking about loaning large amounts where that rate of interest is going to catch up very quickly. Certainly people can come up with theoretical loans that might seem more innocuous or reasonable. The reality is that's not really what we're talking about, and we're certainly focused on catching the bad actors that, again, have caused financial ruin for so many individuals and families throughout our state.
One argument is that this could put some of these lenders out of business, and they wouldn't exist if there wasn't some kind of need for it. A group of Wisconsinites who aren't served by better-known financial institutions, is there something out there that can take the place of these payday lenders and other short-term lenders?
Well, certainly they've found a way to make it profitable for themselves in terms of the debt that people are on the hook for that then can be enforced and collected. But just because they've found a way to make it profitable doesn't mean that there necessarily is a need that can't be filled through other means. And I guess I would push back on that a bit in terms of it indicating that there is a need other than, I think that it's selling promises with misleading advertising that this is somehow, again, auto loans themselves in many cases are not, the securing the loan with the vehicle is in many cases not even really the goal. They're just trying to get people to sign on to that high rate of interest. And any vehicle assets that would be retained by the lender, if they go in default, are almost minuscule. They would go to auction, essentially.
Now, you mentioned Congressman Glenn Grothman. I remember bringing him on our shows here years ago when he was in the state legislature. He was fighting an uphill battle to try to get regulations on payday lenders, not getting a lot of support from his and your party at the time. Do you think that this is a time where you can make something like this happen?
You know, I think there will be that time. I don't know if this is necessarily that time. I'm certain that it's going to face an uphill challenge with some members of leadership. But the reality is, this is a statement of where I'm at and where I've been at for some time. I appreciate Congressman Grothman's leadership on this. And I've been on the losing side of some lonely votes in the legislature in terms of whether it's been rent-to-own or payday loans, some efforts to kind of roll back some of the consumer protections that I think we have a reason to expect in our state.
Senator Jacques, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Rob.
Andre Jacques is a Wisconsin state senator representing the 1st District, which spans Brown, Calumet, Door, and Kewaunee counties. Now we bring on Hader Kerbin. He joins us for more on the impact of payday lending. He's professor of economics and director of the Center on Race and Wealth at Howard University. Hader, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Well, we heard a specific effort here in Wisconsin. Can you broaden this out for us? How big a problem do you see payday lending being across the U.S.?
Well, payday lending is a huge. At one time, they had more, payday lending storefronts than McDonald's stores. So this is, they were so big. But there are two phases of it. One phase that in late 90s. Some state governments, and most of them, they started to change the usury laws, and that kind of allowed the payday lending to expand in many states. As this, the consumers were negatively affected by this problem, some states, they started to push back on it, and the pushback is kind of changing the regulations, either prohibiting the payday lending functions, they're functioning in the states, or putting some limits on the terms and interest rates that they charge. So currently, in these two waves, currently there are 10 states that prohibit, payday lending in their states, plus D.C., District of Columbia. And there are some other states that they are, implementing different regulations and restrictions on it. These can be the rate cap. Some states, they put the maximum, interest rate and interest rate that they can charge at the 36% or 30%. And some states, they use other kind of restrictions on rollover. They don't allow them to do more rollovering, or in other words, to selling the same person, multiple loans, or on the terms they do some restrictions. Interestingly, Wisconsin is right now is one of those states that really doesn't have much limits on any activities of the payday lending.
Talk about a typical case where someone might get caught in that situation. People have called it a downward spiral of debt in the past. Talk about how that can stack up.
Well, it's basically for these are small loans, right? You apply and you get $500, and you pay $10 or $15 or $20 on each $100, and depending on the state's regulations, that can be 300%, 520% per annually. And this is the population that in our studies shows that these are the population that is not using payday loans just for one time or second time. On average, at payday lender, the borrower, gets around 8 to 10 loans. So this is a huge burden. So it's not really just people are using for one time and it's just to do something that is very, important.
You've done work, I think, on recipients of Social Security and similar benefits relying on these kinds of loans. So what do we know about that?
The Social Security recipients, this is a different group, and they are kind of a better target for the industry because they have a steady check every month. They either get a retirement check or they get some checks for some other benefits. And because of that, they become a good, customer base for the industry. And our studies show that, most of the use of the payday loans among the Social Security recipients is not much different than than the general population. Usually the lower income population uses the payday loans more. And what we also show that is, interestingly, people use more payday loans. The Social Security recipients use more payday loans when the pay period is longer. So which means that this population that use payday loans is cash strapped. They need money, right? And they cannot make the end of the month. So whenever this pay period extends against it longer, they get more payday loans or other type of loans.
We're talking with economics professor Hader Kerbin of Howard University about payday lending and a new bill in Wisconsin that would add some regulations to those lenders. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you used payday lending or other short-term loans? What was the experience like for you? Was it just a quick short-term loan, or did you get caught up in debt over the long term? Should Wisconsin do more to regulate this industry? As we've heard from both our guests, Wisconsin is on the lighter side when it comes to regulation of payday lending. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about payday lending and some possible new regulations here in Wisconsin. Hader Kerbin is with us, economics professor and director of the Center on Race and Wealth at Howard University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin should regulate these short-term lenders, or are things fine as they are? Have you used short-term lending? Have you worked in this business? Love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Julia is with us now in Winona, Minnesota. Julia, hi.
Hi. I used payday loans for about 6 years, and you get hooked into them and you can't get out of them. You just, there's no stopping. And luckily I had a financial advisor who said, you have to stop and stay away. And I made a commitment to myself never to have another one, and I haven't.
Julia, thanks for the call, and congratulations on getting out of that cycle. A common story, do you think, Hader?
Yes, it's a very common story. Actually, now we have enough data sources that, they ask people, why do you use it, right? I mean, the biggest thing is coming is that, people find it very convenient. So they are more convenient than banks or other institutions. So they make themselves available, and as a result, people use them. And usually when another question is when we ask people, why do you use it? And usually when people start to use it, they think that they're going to just get it once or twice, but it doesn't end up that way. And this is kind of another result that we get from consumer surveys.
Julia, thanks again for sharing your story. We'll go now to Bradley in Tupelo, Mississippi. Bradley, hi.
Hi, I'm right here.
Yeah, what did you want to bring up, Bradley?
I was thinking about the alternatives that folks face when they're, looking at a bill and they need cash. So what's the alternative?
Bradley, thanks a lot for the call. That's a question people raise a fair amount, Hader. There are not always legal alternatives, other legal options for people who need that short-term money.
Yes, usually this is the when people have needs for small, loans. That's the case, right? For example, my research shows that the Social Security beneficiaries, right, they just need that extra $100 until their next paycheck comes in, right? And the banks or the other institutions, they are not, providing small loans. And also people have this fear of, bounce checks and other things. And those fees tend to be even sometimes higher than the interest, the fees that the payday lenders are charging. So there is some push on that, the CFPB is kind of pushing this. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is pushing that, banks should provide people some small loans. But there haven't been much done in that area. It's just basically people don't have enough cash, until they get the next paycheck.
Bradley, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We've talked to a researcher here in Wisconsin, J. Michael Collins, who's looked a lot at kind of a lack of financial services in general for low-income people, not just those small loans, but useful savings vehicles, checking vehicles, credit, that kind of thing. Is this part of a wider problem of kind of financial service deserts, in effect, for low-income people?
That's true. And usually people use, you know, people who are using payday loans, they also use other, what people call alternative financial services, you know, pawn shops, car loans, other things. So these are, so this is basically, you have a part of population that is financially in trouble, have a hardship, and is looking kind of loans to get by. And they either pay their loans or something else, you know, they are just doing them.
Talking about payday lending and other short-term lending, Haider Kerben is with us from Howard University. We heard that Wisconsin has new legislation maybe in the works that would lower interest, would cap interest rates on payday lenders and other short-term lenders. Back to your calls now. Richard is with us in Eau Claire. Richard, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I'm from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And when I lived in Michigan, Rogers City, Michigan, the credit union actually advertised, before taking a payday loan, come and see them. I'm just wondering if anybody else has experience with credit unions really being that replacement for the payday loan.
Richard, thanks for the call. Have you seen, Haider, this being a thing around the country, credit unions or other institutions really trying to offer something competitive with these payday lenders?
Well, there is some support for that, and some credit unions, they are doing it, but they are, I think they are, in terms of the scale, they are not as big as the, you know, the demand is. But you know, there are some of them are doing it. I work with a project that some church groups, they started, their credit unions were doing it in Alabama. But these are, you know, these are very small efforts in terms of the impact.
Thanks a lot for the call. Richard, we heard on our Ideas Network Facebook page from Joel. Joel says, whatever happened to the principle of caveat emptor, choices and actions have consequences. And Pete wrote, as long as they're upfront about it, that if people are dumb enough to use them, then they get what they deserve. What do you think, Haider, if they post their interest rates and let you know what you're getting into, it's up to the consumer to take care of themselves?
Well, one group was advocating that, you know, the reason people are taking these loans because they are not financial literate. In other words, they don't understand what are the terms and other things. And in the research, there is not the support for this is not much. This is a bigger problem. You know, there's a big segment of the society, they cannot bring the end, and they are living paycheck to paycheck. And they are, and this is their financial needs. When they are not met, they just go to payday loan lenders and others. The payday lendings, they're using the convenience store kind of model. They are convenient, they are available, they are close by, and as a result, you know, they're accessible. So this is the success of the industry. And as a result, they are costly. They are charging higher rates is not because they are predatory or they're making a lot of profit, which they do, but it's also these are small shops and they have a high fixed cost, and they can only function when the interest rate of fees are high. In fact, when Oregon, this is the most recent one, when they put a cap on the interest rate, annual interest rate of 36%, most of the payday lenders disappeared from Oregon because they couldn't function. It was not profitable.
Let's go back to our callers. Mary is with us in Butternut. Mary, hi.
Hi. I got an $800 loan from CashNet USA, and they're charging me 333% interest, and it's $222.24 for 10 months. It becomes a very expensive $800 car.
Mary, thanks a lot for sharing that experience. So Mary has encountered this firsthand, Haider. And is it always obvious to the customer that this is the kind of rate? Is that information explicit and clear to people when they walk in the door?
No, these are fees, right? They just give you the fee, and people think that, you know, they're going to pay this fee. This is like, sometimes people think this is like a bounce back check, right? Let's say you have a check that's going to be bounced. To avoid that, you know, you pay this fee, you get a payday loan, and that fee could be lower than what the bank is charging you. But the story doesn't end there, right? Usually, this is a very small percentage of the customers. Most of the people who are getting payday loans, they just, you know, need a loan to just, you know, to survive that month. And then they're going to have the same need again and again. And as a result, you know, they get multiple loans.
In our last few moments, Haydar, we have this effort anyway. We'll see where it goes here in Wisconsin. Has there been a trend of states trying to regulate these payday lenders more and more?
Yes. As I said initially, you know, at the beginning of my talk, mm-hmm. that is, you know, initially a lot of states, they allow them, you know, they even help them to expand. But then as the consumers push back, you know, some states, they prohibited that. Right now, as it stands, 10 states plus the District of Columbia, they don't allow them to function in their states. So in these states, there is no payday lending store. And there are also about like 5 or 6 states that are, they put some limits on the interest rate that they can charge because the limits are not profitable. These are Connecticut, Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon, and hopefully Wisconsin is going to be another one. In that case, you know, the industry cannot function because these rates are not profitable for them. But that is not a solution in terms of the small credit problem because people might go to the, you know, other kind of loans, right? So the problem is bigger. It really is an income problem. A lot is a big segment of population that is in the need of credit.
We'll keep watching this issue. Thanks to Haydar Kerbin for joining us from Howard University. We also heard from Wisconsin State Senator Andre Jacques, author of a bill that would regulate payday lending.